Andrew Tate, before his arrest and before he got in legal trouble and everything else, when he went viral, what made people want to follow Andrew Tate and listen to him more?
Do you ever feel pressure to say what people want you to say instead of what you believe?
Bro, I swear to God, something happened a couple of days ago and I freaked out. Wallah al-azim, bro. I was recording a voice note to someone.
Okay.
And then I deleted it. Very detailed car. I was on YouTube Shorts, like an hour later. Bro, wallah, an ad pops up of a car dealership.
Do you think a lot of people are also jealous that we are given a lot of opportunities that most people don't even have?
Yes, I attacked a lot of people online, honestly. And most of them were people that lived here.
All right, we're here with another special episode with a special friend that we have here, yes, Rahim sir. Abbas.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Now, for the audience that are listening, who is Ibrahim Abbas?
Well, I'd like to start off by saying thanks for having me. You know, we've been talking about meeting in your show for a while. Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely.
We hear nothing but good stuff about your show and your purpose. Mashallah alaik. Best of luck in the future episodes. Who is Ibrahim Abbas? I mean, Ibrahim Abbas is just a guy that's 27 from Dubai. He does, he creates content on TikTok, creates content on YouTube. On the side, that's not his actual career. His actual career started off in the finance background. And I'm currently serving the military. That's it.
That's it.
That's who Ibrahim Abbas is. I'm a pretty simple.
You're being very humble, man. No, he's actually a veteran when it comes to the social media. He's an expert. And I'm sure if I didn't know any other Emirati that was really that impactful when it comes to their content creation, more than you.
I appreciate it, man.
You're having a huge following, more than any Emirati that I know. I'm not sure there's any Emirati that has this much of a capacity of followers.
Yeah, no, I think I have a few names in my head that have more followers.
Really?
Yeah.
But in the English speaking?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, there's one English speaking person that I know he has more followers, obviously. Khalid
Al-Amri?
Yeah, so.
Not in TikTok. I'm not sure if in TikTok.
I don't know. I've never seen his page on TikTok. Maybe I did. I'm not sure. But speaking of followers, yani, you know, when you look at YouTube, I think he's the biggest Emirati YouTuber. Yeah. Yani.
But you have approximately now 3 million, right?
I have 2.6 on TikTok.
2.6 on TikTok. Yeah. With this.
YouTube, I got almost like, 70,000 subs?
All right.
I just repurpose what I post on TikTok sometimes on YouTube, like on an occasional basis.
All right.
I post like once a month or something, you know, or once every 2 months on YouTube.
What do you actually talk about in the social media?
So there's a variety of things. See, I like to shoot podcasts. I haven't done as many episodes as you have. I've done a lot less. I've shot with 14 people, I believe. And whatever we talk about in the podcast, sometimes the topics interest me and they have to do, they're relatable and they are similar to the things I talk about on TikTok. I crop some clips and reshare them on my page. Whether it was political, whether it was controversial, whether it was funny, whether it was scary. So this is one aspect of the things I talk about on TikTok. The other thing is I tell stories. I'm a storyteller. Obviously, I have multiple types of series and categories, but the most successful one is the scary stories, the horror stories. I have another list of stories that also get very, very high engagement, very high number of views, but a different audience. The emotional stories, the historical stories. Things that have a purpose, a story with a good ending, a story that teaches us something about life, you know?
But these stories don't necessarily relate to the UAE, or is it more related?
No, they don't. Not necessarily. And speaking of UAE content, I cover, political topics, and sometimes they are a little bit sensitive. But I believe that there are things we have to speak on. You know, I feel like people outside don't really hear our voices as Emiratis, you know, most of the Emirati people, and let's be honest, all their content is Arabic. Very rarely you see an Emirati speaking English online. Mashay. Why don't they hear our voices? You know, they keep accusing Dubai of doing this. They keep accusing UAE of this, and nobody's responding to them.
Why do you think is that? Why do you think we lack amount of UAE nationals who speak up in the social media aspect? Well, like, they can represent the UAE in a better way to the global nationalities that exist there.
I mean, reason number one is pretty obvious: our language barrier. Our first language is the Arabic language, so by default, the majority of our content will be in Arabic. English is our second language.
Right? If you think about the UAE, 90% of them are expats. Only 10% are UAE nationals.
Right. Our expats do create content. Mm-hmm. They create content for Dubai. Why? What about us? Why aren't we doing anything? Why don't we have... Look at the food reviews. The food reviewers and the food critics online and people that review theme parks, people that review new...
New entertainment
or new theme, whatever type of things that open new projects that open up. They're always expats that go there and review them and tell you, hey, okay, so in this section they got this, and in that section they got that, and then at the end they tell you how much it costs. We don't have Emiratis doing that. We do in Arabic,
but not in English.
Not in English. We have, I think we do, but very rare,
you know.
And I feel like the people here. We have more non-Arabic speaking people in the UAE. I believe so. In Dubai, for sure. Not sure about the stats in Abu Dhabi and Sharjah and Ajman. But I would say majority of people in the UAE don't speak Arabic. So therefore, we need to do better in English.
And even the ones that do speak Arabic, they know how to speak English most of the time. Or they understand English in a more respective way.
I'll give you another example. Expats in the UAE that don't speak Arabic, where do they go for reliable news source, news information? Do they go to Barq or Emirat Al Youm, which is the official one? UAE Barq is going to tell us what is actually going on point.
Before you even watch TV, before you even watch the radio or listen to anywhere else.
And they will talk about the most sensitive things. I mean, they have approval. They have approval from the big people. And then everything else, like Khalij Times and etc., they start resharing what UAE Barq was talking about. We have a UAE Barq page in English, but it's not as big as the one that we see, the one in Arabic. The one in Arabic is very huge, so many followers. The one in English is so minimal. Haram. I feel like we need to do better in English, whether it was news, content, movies, you name it.
In your social media, you also talk a lot about rumors that happen in the UAE. When did you realize your content has started to shift people's perspective, whether there was regarding rumors, stories, or anything regarding the UAE?
So,
was there like a specific story or content that you made and like it just shifted people's mind?
Yes. So when I started TikTok, this is early 2021 or mid 2020. So like during lockdown and somewhere right after lockdown, I was talking about very, very innocent topics that seemed relatable to Emiratis, but it was in English. And I tried something new because back then there were no TikTokers, Emiratis, doing English content. None. Really, none, bro. There were no Emiratis doing any TikToks. There were Emiratis, but they were only watching TikToks.
A handful.
Yes. And TikTok wasn't that popular. It became popular during lockdown, you know?
It used to be ByteDance before that, or what is it?
Not sure. No, ByteDance is still ByteDance. Is the company that owns TikTok.
It was Musical.ly.
Musical.ly, yes. Right. It was another app, correct. Yeah. So I started creating content that have to do with Emiratis. For example, I had a series. It had like about 8 parts. Things you didn't know about Emiratis. And then one part would be about the cars we drive. Nissan Patrols, Land Cruisers, you know, stuff like that. The other part would be about the coffee shops we go to. So I named a lot of coffee shops, Home Bakery, Milk Cafe, you know, the usuals that we go to. And then one would be places we walk in, City Walk, Galeria Mall, you know.
This is like
Mars Al Arab.
What you're saying is very interesting, because a lot of expats don't actually know how we live our lives.
Yes.
You know, I had some expat ask me, how can I get along with them? They don't know how they can get along with us. Like, yeah. How can I get myself introduced to an Emirati? They think like we're only exceptional to being available only to the locals. And approaching is just something...
I mean, they have a point. Majority Emiratis hang out with other Emiratis, you know? Just like British people. They hang out with British people.
Don't you think it's because of the way they interact, their social environments is much more different? For a British nationality, you would go to bars to socialize.
To these pubs, right?
Yes. Yeah. For us as locals, we would go to cafes. It's just a different venue.
Yeah.
But that's for more of people to drink alcohol. While we're there, we're drinking coffee.
But we don't socialize. We would go to coffee shops, but we wouldn't speak to other tables. You know what I mean? Mm. We'd speak to whoever's sitting with us.
Group of friends at the
group of friends, right.
Exactly.
And we treat others with respect, but we wouldn't go to another table and go like, hey, can I buy you a coffee? You know, that doesn't happen.
Yes.
You know
what I mean? Yes.
But the Westerners do, you know, they in these bars and pubs, they'd like go around saying hi, talking loud, buying each other drinks. And you don't have to know anybody in a bar and you'd walk out with friends, you know?
But coming back now to the perspective that we're shifting.
Yeah.
What was that rumor that you always constantly hear?
Internally or from outside?
Tell me both.
Dubai porta potty is the most rumor I get attacked in my comments.
Interesting.
All the time. They genuinely think that we defecate on women here. People genuinely think that.
Why do they think that?
I don't know. I swear, Wallah al-Azim, bro. People actually think all Emirati guys, we have a sorry for the lingo. They think that we have a thing with women where we defecate on them in exchange of money. You know, we pay them so they can act as a toilet, as a kalaya.
Wait, who started this rumor?
I have no idea. A Ukrainian model. A Ukrainian model. It's always, never mind. A Ukrainian model. A young Ukrainian model, I forgot her name. But she came and said, do you know what happens in Dubai? So I was offered this amount of money and I went to Dubai and I was on a yacht party. And then this guy, he gave me this sum of money and he defecated on my face. And I had to live with that. You know, she washed up and left.
But is that something that true that happened to her?
Who knows? Maybe. Maybe there is some guy out there that likes to do this. We don't know, right? But yani, if it happened one time or it was one person that does this and he keeps flying out women, who is this person? Why are we accusing a whole city? What does Dubai have to do with this?
Exactly.
What does Dubai as a name, as a city, a freaking city, so huge?
Dubai is much more than that.
Right, you know, yeah.
I mean, they forgot about all the technology, all the innovation, all the services that we do, and all the safety that we have, and they focused on the one thing that they might have heard about.
Forget about the success. Everybody knows Dubai is like, it's up there, you know? When you go to any airport in the world, Dubai clock is going to be up there, you know? They don't only have Tokyo, New York, London. They have Dubai as well. Dubai is up there. No matter what you do, you will never destroy Dubai's reputation. No matter what you do, Dubai's economy will never fall anytime soon. Inshallah, taban. Yani, this success comes from Allah at the end of the day. But it's not about what Dubai offers. It's about Dubai as a community. You know? We have kids. We have families. We have people from all different races. We have people from different religions. We have people that are white, people that are Asian, people that are black, people that are Arabs, people that are, you know, Desis. We have We have so many, we have a huge variety of races and nationalities. And we have different professions, you know. There are women here who have real jobs, by the way, because everybody thinks that women in Dubai don't have real jobs. They just fly women out here. No, we got women that have real jobs here. We got women that work normal in corporate industry, you know, seeking for a husband here. You know, we have a lot of single women. We have a lot of married women. We have a lot of single men. It's just a community like everywhere else in the world, you know.
What was that or other rumor you said you're going to tell me about?
It's political.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if you're comfortable with talking about it. It's very political.
Very political.
Yeah. So Dubai is being accused of being on a very bad political party.
Hmm.
You know, and this accusation is very false. I just wanted to, you know, say that.
But in terms of what is something like the foreigners always get wrong about the UAE?
There is a word they always say about Dubai. They say Dubai is fake. Always. This is always the word, fake. What do you mean fake? What? Okay, how is a city fake? Like, is Dubai made of plastic? What does fake mean? What do you mean by fake? No, it's because like everything in there is fake. What is fake? What, the skyscrapers? No, they're real. They were built by the same concrete that you use in your country to build buildings. They're real skyscrapers. You know, they're in the sky. They're not made of plastic. They're not fake. When you go in, there's an actual lobby. There's an actual elevator. There are actual offices. There are actual things to do inside. It's not fake. So what is fake? No, but it's fake because it's a desert. And everything in there is fake. I mean, yeah. You know, everywhere else in the world was nothing.
Was Las Vegas fake?
Yeah, apparently Las Vegas is fake, right? Nevada is a desert too. So Las Vegas is apparently fake.
I mean, if you think about it, New York wasn't a city. It was used to be a green land where Native Americans used to live.
Right.
And
just grass.
It was grass and mountains and everything else. So would you consider this fake?
But it wasn't even mountains. I don't think, maybe not the city, right?
No, not the city. I mean, New York City. I mean,
the state. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know much about the New York state, but like the city was like, it was dead. Like if there was no civilization there, it wouldn't be something that is pretty to look at, you know?
I mean, everything has a foundation where it has to be built.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what they mean by fake. And it was a desert. But also people.
But do you think it's because of the jealousy?
Of course. Of course.
Or envy.
Of course. Look, man, a lot of people can't afford to fly here.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we need to accept as a fact. A lot of people can't fly to Dubai, you know?
A lot of people even stay in their own country. They can't. They don't even move out of their country.
Yes.
Like, when I used to live in the United States, as much as I love the people there.
How long have you lived there?
I lived there for 6 years.
MashaAllah. Okay.
As much as I love the people there, most people don't even leave their own state.
No.
They don't have a passport. U.S. passport, they don't have it. They go with a driver license, and they can go anywhere they want to go within the United States.
In the States, yeah?
Yes. So they don't see the reason to have a passport unless they leave the country. And most of the time, they'd rather be within the States and not even leave the country.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Now, if you could change one thing about how the world sees us and the UAE, what would you change? Based on everything that you've been doing so far?
This is a very, very strong question. That needs, I feel like I need a lot of time to think. There's so many things I would like to do. Number one is bringing people over. Live here.
Hmm.
Give us a try. Or try me out as a friend. And see if I actually defecate on people's face. You know?
So come and say hello.
Come.
Yeah.
Come to Dubai. That's one. Number two is ignore the ignorance. Literally ignore the ignorance. There are these people making like, okay, look, a lot of accusations might have valid points about some things that people accuse about Dubai. At least they were researched, some accusations, but most accusations are just plain stupid.
Hmm.
Very, very wrong accusations. Unresearched, just false. A simple Google search would prove these accusations to be wrong. And these people are very ignorant, honestly. I mean, people that just accuse without no actual research, I feel like they are ignorant and they deserve to be ignored. They are, really, they are nobodies.
When people comment in your TikTok or something, do you usually ignore those comments or you actually look into those comments?
The repetitive comments about, you know, the, again, it's political, a lot of political comments, but they're very repetitive. I ignore them because, yeah, I don't know how much I can speak about this, but I ignore them. Yeah, most of them are I ignore.
We'll see. But does it affect you in a way that you feel that you must reply to that?
No, look, some, yes. Some, I go like, no, why is this person saying this? Why is, like, oh, wallah, this happened today. This happened today. Let me pull out the comment. I was watching this guy's TikTok. He's an American that lives in Dubai.
Mm.
Where is it? Where is the video? Oh, no way. What? Yeah, this video's not here. It was the last video I liked.
Did maybe he delete it?
He deleted it. Bro, like, really wrong time to delete the video.
Do you think people are afraid of locals?
Here? Yes. Here, yes.
So you feel like most people would like prefer the local because they're afraid of them?
They're intimidated by them. I feel like people are intimidated by Emiratis. I don't know why. I don't think we should be I don't think we should be feared from others. We shouldn't be feared.
But maybe respected.
Respected. Yes.
Have you ever thought of having your own kid someday?
His name is Mahmoud Al-Bluchi. I just said his name. He's probably going to arrest. Yeah, Hamoud. Yeah, he's married to a Ukrainian, mashallah. And obviously, his wife doesn't speak Arabic. But she dresses up like us, you know? She has some Emirati girlfriends, you know? She's adapting to the culture. But her kids, their kids, Emiratis. They speak Arabic. They love their identity. They love wearing kandora. They do the Yola dance in school.
Oh, wow.
They listen to Mehat Hamad. They listen to Rashid al-Majid.
Do they look Ukrainian or do they look much
honestly,
like a father?
Some look whiter than their dad. And then, you know, Hamoud, he's pretty dark-skinned.
Okay.
And obviously, you know, Ukrainian wife. So some kids are like really light-skinned and the others, they look like their father.
Now, let's get back into social media games.
Yes.
Which is your expertise.
Yes.
Why do you think your content resonates with so many people? How did it make it so popular for you to explode with a lot of different content that you're producing?
Every time I meet somebody in public that, you know, recognizes me from my videos or anything like that, they always start off with one sentence. And it's always the same sentence. Thank you for posting what you posted about this and that. That's always the same. Last time, the last viral video I posted was the RH, a woman in Dubai that got arrested. And I talked about the story and the ending was a little bit dramatic. And it just satisfied people. I'm pretty much a voice for those who are not
confident to speak out.
Yes. Confidence to speak out, or their voices are not reaching anywhere. So I speak for them. I speak for a lot of people. I wouldn't say for Emiratis. A lot of Emiratis disagree with me, akhi. And a lot of Westerners disagree with me, but the majority agrees. The majority agrees. If the majority doesn't agree, then we wouldn't have had this relationship and met in, you know, in these media offices.
For sure.
That are run by the government, you know? The government likes us. You know,
I mean, they like your content. Otherwise, you would not be invited.
Exactly. Well, both of us.
But why do you think is like this, or not why, but what is the secret to really going viral without losing your values because a lot of people will do anything to literally just become viral.
Look, keep your mouth clean. You know? Let's abhat. Let's abhat. Don't insult. You can offend. You can offend someone big time, but don't insult somebody. Don't call them fat or idiot or, you know, or losers or XXXX, whatever.
But I always say, like, even in UAE, you have to be very careful with what you say on social media.
Yes.
The moment you say something wrong, it can immediately be turned against you.
Yes. I attacked a lot of people online, honestly. And most of them were people that lived here in Dubai.
They can go against you in a lawsuit. Yeah. They can go against you in terms of federal crime or...
Well, this is the thing.
E-crime in this case.
I have 4 legal advisors that people don't know about. This is the first time I'm speaking about this.
Brother. Interesting.
I have 4 legal advisors.
Is it before you post anything?
Yes. No. This is usually before I post something about someone.
Hmm.
Right? I don't know if these someones, because I know they watch whatever I post and stuff like this. I'm probably going to post this episode on my page as well. So to this someone, I'm saying that I have 4 legal advisors. Usually if it's about someone, the video is about someone, I would take their legal advice. If 2 said go for it, the minimum requirement for me is for 2 to say looks good to go, I will post it. And I've got legal threats before, but it never worked. It never worked, bro. It never worked. If I removed the video after a long time, I did it as a favor. Bsaraha. I've had people threaten me, bro. I will sue you, defamation, blah, blah, blah. This person sent me people, big names, text me, say, delete this video about this person. Wallah ma masahat. Wala bamsah. I will not. I know that there's a case against me, the police. I know. I don't mind. Let's take it to court. This is what? If we don't have cases, then the court will lose business. You know? They need cases. Let's take it to court. Come on, the judge is getting paid the salary. Let him do his job. You know, let's go to court. Wallah al-Azim, I wanted to go to court. I wanted to go to court. I'm talking about one specific video from a long time ago. I got a call from the e-crime department and they wanted to talk to me. They're like, look, we know you haven't said anything. Like they're trying to convince me to delete it. I'm like, bro, like, wait, so I'm not in trouble here. You called me here, not because I'm trouble, not because this person wants to take, it's because this person couldn't make a lawsuit. Because of the first thing I said, I didn't insult this person. I did not insult this person. Everything I used was based on what this person publicly said online. You said it. You posted. I'm only talking about what you posted. Arafat? As a favor, they're like, just do it for us and for the sake of the tribal name. Okay. I deleted the video. Wallah, because this person was a local, I deleted it. Respect to this person's family. Not because I was scared. Not because there was going to be any lawsuit. I told them I want to take it further. I'm not deleting the video.
So other than respecting.
Yes.
And avoiding insulting people online. What is that one strategy that will take a content for, in general, to anyone that is listening to you right now? What is that one strategy that will take your content from good to being unforgettable?
Unforgettable meaning like great?
Like, this content is so great. I want to keep following this guy. I want to keep listening to him. How can I make my content so good to that point? Because I'm sure you excelled in that, where you have more than 2.6 million followers are following you and your videos are constantly just matching in a high viewer rate.
So, of course, you can do that with multiple things. You can create videos like Mr. Beast. You know, you can give people money, big sums of money. And people will be like, whoa, who is this guy? Let me follow him. every person has a niche of content. Mr. Beast does entertainment and gives very big amounts of money to people, right?
And he uses a lot of money to produce those videos.
Right, right. Me, I talk about political stuff and storytelling.
Mm.
Abu Fella, he's a streamer. He's a gamer. And he's also in the sport field.
But that's the thing about those people. Like for streamer, for example, let's go in that case. There's so many streamers out there. So many.
Why
only this guy was the only person who was able to succeed that no one else?
Why Aiden Ross, Nathan? Why Speed?
Why?
Why Abu Fella?
That's what I want to know.
I'm not a streamer. I don't know.
Yeah. But let's say in your field. Why field? There's so many.
What do you mean? Some person politically, like yeah. Political audience. What makes them want to? Okay. This is the person I want to follow. Now this, I will tell you a name, but this name is a very controversial name. But I will say it, and forgive me. Andrew Tate.
Mm.
Before his arrest and before he got in legal trouble and everything else, when he went viral, what made people want to follow Andrew Tate and listen to him more?
Because he was saying things that most people won't even say.
Won't say. They won't say. He's speaking for others, using other people's tongues. And even if he was wrong in some things, if you sat with him and had a debate and you told him that there are elephants in space, sorry, if he told you that there are elephants in space and you both know that that does not exist, but if he had to hold that debate against you, you will lose.
Hmm.
He will somehow convince you that there are elephants in space.
He's a good communicator.
Yes. Debater. Nobody was able to put him down. Nobody. Whether I'm not hyping him up, I'm not saying he's a good person. Not at all. I'm just saying he's really skilled on how he talks. He knows how to talk. Now, sometimes it's bad.
Do you ever feel pressure to say what people want you to say instead of what you believe?
Sometimes. Sometimes. I don't want to get into that because obviously I was pressured to publish such videos, and even if I don't agree with them, I kind of had to. But nothing recent. This was all very old stuff.
Where do you think the social media game is going from now?
I don't think there's social media anymore, man. Social media was entertaining. When you open TikTok, you just keep biting your nails, not knowing what the next video is going to be. You're either going to see war, you're either going to see something very negative, like a debate. You're either going to see people attacking controversies. Then the next one is going to be conspiracy theories about governments.
Isn't that based on whatever you're seeing?
Right.
This is your interest.
Right.
This is your field. For me, it'll be more about the things that I like. For example, business. Alex Hormozy. I don't know if you heard of her.
My For You page is all that, bro.
Yeah. Because that's what you...
JFK files, CIA, conspiracy theories, politics, Russia, Ukraine, war. This is my For You page, bro.
You need that hard reset.
Yeah. And then I go to like an explore, or like one of my friends would send me something, or, and I open a video of like a group of girls doing a challenge. And the video has like, the video itself, not the views, the video likes, has like 5 million views, 5 million likes. I'm like, why didn't I get this? My For You page? Where is this content coming from? Like, bro, if you look at my For You page, it's like, it's not social media. It's like opening Fox News and just seeing what's up, you know? Kalichi.
I think it depends on what you like. Because this is how good the algorithm becomes. It just knows exactly what you're going to watch more.
Yes. I think that's how could it progress more than this, you know? I think...
Like, it even listens to exactly what we're saying right now. And it'll try to bring in anything that comes to that conversation that we're having. Right in your social media. Yeah. Right in your phone.
Yes.
You'll see it, like it just pops up. Oh, you just talked about this.
Bro, I swear to God, something happened a couple of days ago and I freaked out. Wallah al-azim, bro. I was recording a voice note to someone.
Okay.
And then I deleted it. I deleted the voice note. I decided not to send it. It was about me buying a specific car that I found on Dubizzle that was specifically that color, specifically that model, specifically that make, year make, or the sin al Lisawa, specifically this interior, like, you know, like very detailed car, very detailed car. And then I was on YouTube Shorts, like an hour later. Bro, wallah, an ad pops up of a car dealership, and they were selling that exact car. It was an ad. It wasn't a piece of content.
Mm-hmm.
That exact car was for sale, that exact model, and there were like three of them lined up.
Did you visit that website before you even went to a YouTube show?
Nothing.
You didn't know it was?
I was only on Dubizzle.
But that's the thing. The moment you entered that website,
they already got your data, right?
Yeah, they already got your data. It's immediately associated with your data.
And then I also talked about it.
Yeah.
On WhatsApp. I was recording, but I decided not to send the voice note. I didn't send it. I got the car ad as I was scrolling through YouTube Shorts. Like, boom. Popped up in my face. I'm like,
yeah. I mean, imagine that with AI, how it's going to improve so much that every ad that you see will be custom tailored to you. Like, they will know exactly what you want, and they will try to pressure you to buy it.
Crazy.
That's how they serve business. That's how they keep making money.
Yeah.
So we talked about someone that is not here anymore.
Rasul Muhammad, yeah. So
let's say about someone who's alive.
Who's alive?
Or we could give you something.
Hamdan bin Muhammad bin Rashid.
Sheikh Hamdan bin Muhammad bin Rashid.
The Crown Prince of Dubai. That is somebody I would love to sit with.
You never had the chance to shake it out or shake his hand?
No, I met him. Okay. I had a conversation with him.
All right.
While I was very young.
Hmm.
I met him in Harrods, London. It was a time that was not a holiday season. Mm. It was a time where schools were operating, universities had classes, and people were at work. It was not a holiday season. So we were there on a weekday. He was there he's a crown prince. Obviously, it was maybe something diplomatic or whatever. Maybe they have assets in London, so they have to also go. But he was like, I was so young. He was like, what are you doing in London at this time? And then I told him I was getting treated and stuff like that, and I'm here for a surgery. He wanted to meet my mom. He walked with me. He held my hand. I was so young. He was also so young, by the way. He was like 20 years old, maybe? 19? So he held my hand. We went all the way to my mom. And then he told my mom, tell me which hotel you're staying in, and tell me your name. He wanted to know where our address was in London. And she said, of course, Tal American, where do I send it to? He said, just send it to this number. And I remember the number. It was a very unique number. I can't say it honestly.
Yeah.
But it's a number I will never forget because it's so easy to remember. And obviously, I don't think it's his number anymore, but who knows? She sent him the text. She sent him the details.
It was directly to him.
Yeah, it was direct. We don't know because there was no response.
Okay.
And you couldn't tell if the person read the message or not because it was SMS back then.
Okay.
It was SMS, right? There was no sort of WhatsApp or anything like that. This was a young BlackBerry.
Oh, okay.
You know? So, yeah. So she sent that as an SMS text. And the next day, the reception calls us. And they said, there's somebody here from the Sheikh's office that wants to give you something. Okay. So we go down, we see an Emirati guy, normal, wearing a jacket, wearing a shirt, wearing pants, looked nice, yani. But he wasn't the Sheikh, just one guy alone. And he had an envelope. And he was like, this is from Sheikh Hamdan. He put £20,000 as a gift.
Wow.
Wallah al-Azim.
MashaAllah.
£20,000 just as a gift like this. From him.
And that's back then, you know, £20,000 was not like...
Back then was $120,000, yeah.
What was that for? just to treat me, just to...
Because, you know, I think he felt bad, you know. I think he felt sorry for me. But I was really sick. I mean, to be fair, I was going through a tough time, bro. A very tough time.
So it was an act of kindness.
It was an act of kindness.
You know, I think the people who give, especially in this world, they get rewarded tenfold.
Yeah.
Whatever they give to this person. Bro,
ever since that happened, I always loved Hamdan bin Muhammad. I would never, ever, ever hate this man. If he did something bad in front of me, I will still not judge him. I have so much respect for Sheikh Hamdan bin Muhammad. He is such a good soul, bro. Wallah, people don't know him well. He's such a good soul. He didn't forget me. He's a prince, man. He's a sheikh. He's so busy. But for him to remember the next day about this person. No, I gave the kid a word. We're blessed to have these leaders.
All the leaders that we have in the UAE, we're so...
Really? And I am so happy he's our crown prince. He will be the ruler of Dubai one day.
Yes.
I can't wait. You know? I can't wait.
I mean, he's already inspiring the world if he sees social media.
Yes.
With a lot of things that he's achieving.
He supports local businesses. He does good for his people. I haven't seen a sheikh more... I know this is very political to say, but you know, you can have a favorite if you want. Of course, everybody can have a favorite. My two favorites, Sheikh Zayed, Allah yarhamah, Sheikh Hamdan bin Muhammad. I feel like these are the most two sheikhs, and of course, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, of course, and Abdullah bin Zayed, and everybody from Zayed.
They all have the ways of contributing to the country.
Yes, but those who do for their people most, Hamd bin Zayed, Sheikh Zayed, and Hamdan bin Muhammad. I feel like for their people, they do the most. Mohammed bin Zayed, if something happened to you in the military field, he will come to the hospital and visit you.
Yes. We've seen it happen. You've seen it.
President of a country.
Yes.
Would come to your hospital bed. Nobody does that. Nobody does that.
They kiss your hands and...
Yeah. And when
you're out of your hand, his son
will push you down. Yes.
As his son, like you cherish you that much.
Every azah of the people that died in Yemen, he went.
For sure. Now, I'm sure throughout the time that you created content, there must have been one guest who had also changed the way you see life or perspective in life.
Multiple. Yeah, and you look, every guest is unique on his own way. Or her own way. I've had both girls and guys. But the person that made me see him differently, specifically the guest differently, was Muta' Abil, Napoleon, the former member of Tupac Outlaws.
Mm.
He was Tupac's very good friend. And he's in all these famous music videos of Tupac.
Now he lives in Saudi Arabia, right?
He lives in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
I thought he still had some in him. From the music. So I was talking about the music. Bro, he really does not. He let that go hard. You know, I respect him for it, you know? But I like the hip hop culture. I really do. I don't know much about it, but you know, I'm learning. And yeah, Yani, he shocked me. He really let that go big time, bro. He's a completely different person. And his story was very inspirational to me. Ali Dawa, another guest as well. Ali Dawa was also not a Muslim. He has problems with his father because he converted to Islam. His father abuses him every now and then because he converted to Islam and he still sticks with his religion, you know? Rashid Bilhassa.
I think he just recently had with... people know him by Money Kicks.
Money Kicks, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's more like a friend, you know? Rashid's more like a friend. So we're very casual, but, you know, obviously there were some things that he said in the podcast that, you know, it hit me hard, Danny. You know? He's a very humble person. He's nothing like what people say he is, or, you know, people say, oh, yeah, dad's money, or some people say, I never met him, but I'm sure he's not a nice person. Like, why? You don't know the guy.
True.
He's really not like what you see online. He's like you and me. very chill person, bro. Walla.
You should meet him or something.
You should. Yeah. You should. I can introduce you to him. Every guest just...
had their own special moments with you that changed something.
Yes, for sure.
So what is that one message you want to send to the audience that are watching right now?
If you don't...
they can remember from you.
Okay. If you don't like Dubai, come and see it. You know? A lot of you Westerners do crazy things that, you know, sometimes could possibly kill you. So, like climbing mountains with no support. And I'm pretty sure you don't like to die. So, just like how you don't like Dubai, just come visit Dubai and see if what you accuse it of is true or not. This one message. And the other message is for all the content creators. Speak up. Don't be afraid to speak. But make sure whatever you want to say, whatever point you would like to send across, the message, the important message, make sure you don't insult any person, any political party, or any organization. Just don't insult anybody. Don't insult anything. And keep your words diplomatic.
Wonderful. Wonderful advice. My last question for you, brother.
I thought that was the last one.
That's a quite last question for the audience, or for pretty much for the others. But for you, what's next for you, brother? What's next for Ibrahim?
Get married.
Get married.
Get married. That's next.
Very soon?
Something's happening soon, inshallah.
Inshallah.
It will happen soon, inshallah.
You're looking to start a family.
That's what I want to do, honestly. I want to start a family. I'm not going to talk about money and stuff like that. Money comes and goes, you know. Alhamdulillah, yani, I have investments that are running and they make something that is decent for me. And things like that, financially, they progress on their own, you know. But my next commitment, the next step in life, is to become a husband. And I think that's huge, you know.
Interesting.
You're married, right?
Yes.
How was it on your wedding day? You know, like it's different, right?
Oh, you know, it's a different journey.
For sure.
It's different when you just have a relationship that can end at any moment. And once you're married, there's a very hard thing that you can end. You're much more bound to that person. So every decision that you make is what counts even more than by yourself. I mean, like in anywhere else in the Western society, you say, okay, we're just going to break up. Khalas, we break up.
Yeah.
When you're married, especially in legalized with the government, it's very hard to go through the divorce. As much as they say, okay, you can just balag and then it's a don't know.
Yeah.
There's so much things. You showcase to the family that you're bound to this person. You showcase to her family that you're going to take care of her. You showcase to everyone that you're responsible as a man and as a husband, that you're capable of doing what is necessary as a man.
Yes.
So all those play a role, especially as your first time being a married and first time being a husband. It's going to play a huge role. It's going to shape you to something different.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. And especially I think it's for people who are ready and people who want to be married. Not for the sake of society, but for the sake that you want to be married.
Yeah.
Always take that. You find the right person and you believe that this is the right person to be, whether father of your children or mother of your children, then go ahead. Don't waste your time.
Yes. Yes. I'm very happy with the decision of the person that, you know, I would like to marry.
Yeah, inshallah, inshallah. I wish you more happiness, bro.
And she keeps making a joke. You know, she says, Ibrahim, in the future, you have to know one thing. I said, what? And I want to ask you as a married man if this is true or not. She said, my money is my money. Your money is my money. Is that true?
It is. Eventually, the moment you start getting out, you're like, ching, 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 transactions are just happening.
No way.
But this is where you have to build the understanding and boundaries between you two. Conversation is essential when it comes to marriage.
Yes.
Silent treatment, ghosting, these things that you do before relationship doesn't work on marriages.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's good. The more you are more able to communicate with your partner, the easier it becomes.
And that's why I'm happy.
That's right.
This partner is
the less stress. Thank easy you. They are.
Yes. Oh my God.
You're living in paradise because it's very hard to find a person that can synergize.
Yeah. With just... And that's why I'm happy, because this person is nothing like that. We're both very mature.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. No ghosting.
Keep it private, I always say. Like, even when you cherish the moments, your holidays, your gift of time, of effort together, your sharing of special moments, as more you keep it private, the less you find negative energy coming to your life.
More peace. More private, more peace.
That's what I say. When you're doing business, whether it's relationship, business, health, try to keep it private.
Yes. My relationship is not going
to everything that I do, I don't try to show as much in my stories or anything like that.
No.
Everything in my media is more about business than anything else.
Yeah.
And everything in terms of my personal life, I just keep it
exactly
private.
Exactly. My page is going to be the same. I'm going to continue doing what I do. My wife, my kids, out of the picture.
Yes. That's the best thing you can ever do
for me. Yeah, bro, for sure. Nobody needs to know who she is or how she looks like. And khalas. You see us in public, that's her.
Yeah.
But I'm not putting her online. You know? She chose to be private. All her Instagram page is private. Snapchat is private.
Oh, my TikTok. God. You save yourself a lot of headache.
I know,
trust me. You save yourself a lot of headache with that.
I know, bro. Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
Where can people find you?
Alhamdulillah. Where can people find me? Well, I live in Dubai.
In your terms of your social media, like Kiswick? I know you live in Dubai, brother.
I was going to say Al Barsha.
No, you don't have to go that detail. The house, villa number 33.
No, so I have TikTok and I have Instagram. They're both the same name. It's Ibrahim with an E, so Ebrahim, Ibrahim_KA. Both TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and Snapchat, they're all the same name. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.